Well, I'm not Cristina Sive, but I'm going to talk to show you how greenhouse gases emissions respond to the wastewater irrigation in the central Mexico, in the Mezquital Valley specifically. Okay. Untreated wastewater contains large quantities of labeled organic compounds, and normally it is used as an agricultural fertilizer, which enrich the soil with soil and enrich the soil with carbon and nitrogen. 1 liter of the wastewater that comes from Mexico City to irrigate these fields contains nitrogen in the organic form and also in the ammonium form. So, as the wastewater is untreated, irrigation in this place is made by flooding, and the flooding produces temporal oxygen deficit, which promotes anaerobic conditions. So we can hypothesize that under these conditions, we are going to have greenhouse gases emissions, specifically nitrous oxide and also methane. As you know, nitrous oxide is produced by microorganisms under aerobic conditions by nitrification and under anaerobic conditions by denitrification, while CO2 is produced by respiration, soil respiration, and also by methane oxidation. But the greenhouse gases from soils vary greatly in space and time. A variation in space comes from the great heterogeneity of aerobic and anaerobic conditions, for example, inside the soil aggregates and from one horizon to another, and that produces hot spots, while variation in time arises from wetting and drying cycles and also additional fertilizing trigger these poles called also hot moments of emission. Most of our current knowledge about greenhouse gases comes from soil, from agricultural temperate zones, and also for flooded paddy soils, but we know much less about what happened with these emissions from arid and semi-arid regions where the water scarcity makes that the farmers use the wastewater to irrigate the fields. So our goal was to evaluate how these gaseous emissions respond in the short term to flooding with wastewater rich in nitrogen and carbon. As I told you before, this research was done in the Mezquital Valley, where the wastewater that comes from Mexico City is used to irrigate the fields. And in this Mezquital Valley, we choose two plots, the first one called Las Palmas. It's irrigated with wastewater each month, and this plot has a crop rotation with alfalfa, ryegrass, and maize. So during 21 months, we monitor these gases emissions. We monitor 5 irrigation events for alfalfa, 4 for ryegrass, and 4 for maize. And in the middle of these crops, we have some tillage and fallow. Additionally, the maize crop coincides with the rainy season in the region, and also is the unique crop that is that has an additional fertilization with a synthetic fertilizer. Okay, so in Las Palmas, we in this plot we choose 3 sampling locations because this place was terraced. And there are we have shallow soils in the water inlet, which is here. So I don't know where is the cursor here. This is where the water inlet to the soil, and in the lower part we have deeper soils, so we were expecting to have variation in space due to these differences in the soil, and also because in the lower part we have the accumulation of the wastewater. The second plot was a rainfed plot denominated El Tigre. And here we just monitored 2 sampling, 2 rain events from August to September. And our complete scheme for the total sampling was on 6 days for each irrigation or rain event. That was before, during, and after irrigation, and 1 to 3 times a day. We use the closed chamber technique. Our chambers measure 0.5 by 0.5 square meters. We put 4 of these chambers at each sampling site. So we have 12 chambers in Las Palmas and 8 chambers in El Tigre. We took the samples by headspace and took those samples to the laboratory to analyze by gas chromatography. And as we took the samples always on the same chamber, so we have repeated measures, and also we lose some data in the field or in the laboratory, so we have also an unbalanced designs, and that means that we have autocorrelated data. So we have to, we couldn't use a NOVA test, but we have to prove, to try with another method like RIMMEL, restricted maximum likelihood, and to know the grade of autocorrelation between the data, we fit first an anti-dependence test. Okay, our result shows that most of our soils are really similar in the clay content, also in the pH and carbon and nitrogen content. And also we measure the redox potential at the same time with the greenhouse gases emissions. We install platinum electrodes at different depths at 10, the black points, 20, 30, and 40 centimeters depth. And in this graph, what you are seeing are the redox potential in the y-axis, and for alfalfa, ryegrass, maize, and maize in the rain-fed plot. So as you can see here, the irrigation promotes a decrease in the redox potential, and there is a recover of this EH, and every irrigation even promotes this decrease. So also we have normally suboxic and oxic conditions, so we really were expecting nitrous oxide emissions in this point. As I told you before, we were testing for differences in space, but the RIMMEL test shows us that for carbon dioxide and also for nitrous oxide, we not found significant differences among the different locations. The temporal variation, this is the first factor due to irrigation or rain events. And for carbon dioxide, what you see is that we really don't have a clear trend between crops. And also, the rain-fed plot seems to produce more carbon dioxide than the wastewater irrigated plot. For nitrous oxide, the differences due to irrigation events also were significant. And as you can see here, there is also a clear pattern between these between crops. And these significant differences could be due to mineralization of the crop residues in the fallow. For days of irrigation, which is another variation in time, we have that -1 means before irrigation and 0 is during irrigation. So you can see that before irrigation we have normally lower emissions with some peaks during irrigation, at least for alfalfa and maize. And also for maize in the wastewater irrigated plot, we have the higher emissions of carbon dioxide, and which was mainly after irrigation. And we thought that these peaks are caused by degassing of the porous space. For nitrous oxide, also we have some peaks, higher peaks during irrigation, and in some for maize, for example, we have also some peaks for the day before irrigation. So we think that maybe these peaks are better explained by denitrification in the plot. So we can conclude that irrigation by flooding really increases the greenhouse gases emissions during and short after each irrigation event, and also decrease the soil redox potential during irrigation, which it recovers about 24 hours after the irrigation. And also change the redox condition, stimulating the microbial activity because we have a medium enriched in carbon and nitrogen. And the main sources of variation are the temporal due to irrigation events and also relative to days of irrigation. And yes, the irrigated plot produces more greenhouse gases than the rain-fed one. So that's it. Thank you.
Any question for Ms. Fina?
Yeah, that it was in the first slide. Total nitrogen between 47 and 67.
Yeah, so do you know how many kilograms per hectare of nitrogen?
No, not really. Yes, please, Christine. It is untreated wastewater.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So.